Amen, amen. We now welcome our guest speaker, who is a great friend of this church, coming all the way from Brooklyn, New York, from Church Metropolitan Tabernacle. We do welcome Pastor Patrick. It is an honor to have you present the Word of God this morning. Amen.
It's good to be in the house of God. Amen. I'm honored to bring the Word. I'm honored to be with my family and to be protected. I got to watch my back today. God is good. I feel God. Oh, my gosh. Whenever you guys sing that song, Betty, whenever you guys sing that song, I feel like my status is really changed. I'm convinced. I get convinced every time that my status really is going to change. You know what I'm saying? But God is so good. Woo! I just want to go right into the Word, but I know I don't have too much time. I'm just a man who loves God. Amen. I don't want to give too much about myself, but I just love God. I love Jesus. Thank you. I love the Lord because he changed me. He saved me. In fact, my status did change about 11 years ago. I was once, I used to run from you guys. I used to run from police. I used to be out there, you know, but God really changed my status. Bon, j'ai changé la vie, li changé, li nettoyer. He did an internal changing. You know what I'm saying? And it's not me trying to look apart. It's something that happened inside of me. You know what I'm saying? It's not me trying to play church. I'm not going to jouer avec l'église encore. Jouer avec l'évangile là encore. I'm not going to faire ça encore. Whenever I try to play a part, God always pulls my card. He always pulls my card. So I feel like, you know, there's no time to play because Jesus is coming anyway. So I need to be on my game. I need to be on my P's and Q's each and every day. Je voulais vivre tout sauvé. Amen. Tout sauvé. Everything that I do. It's not that I'm perfect. Parfait. But, bon Dieu. See, I need some help right now. But God is, he's working in me to make me perfect each day. Amen. He's perfecting me. He's making someone that was once a mess and now he can use as a message. You know what I'm saying? I just love God. I love to be in the midst of his people so we can share and break the word together. Amen. I just love God. I love Pastor Osuni. He's an awesome man of God. Give him a hand, please. His wonderful children who's staying in ministry with him. You know, it's a beautiful thing to see a whole family, the whole unit together in ministry. Happy birthday, Cynthia. Amen. I think I got too much of my mic. But we're going to get right into the word. We read the scriptures, the passages already. And I love the theme that you guys have for this Sunday. And it is withholding nothing. Wow. Withholding nothing. And that means a lot to me because a lot of times God requires more than what we give. God requires total surrender, total obedience. That's his requirement. He doesn't if he's telling you to come here, he doesn't want you to come halfway. You're from the door. He wants you to come right here. He wants you to come to him. But a lot of times we come halfway and we think that we met the requirements. And God is saying, and I want total obedience. Amen. And complete surrender. That's what we're here for today. We're here to learn how we can really completely surrender everything to God and without holding anything, without having any reserves. Amen. We have our main character in the scriptures, Abraham. And the thing that God gave me about Abraham as I studied his life, Abraham te un monde qui te by bon Dieu toute sa lité gagne. He was like, bon Dieu, ma fait volonté. Whatever you want from me, I'll give it to you. I'm not going to withhold anything. All right? And that's the thing that we see in the life of Abram. It started out with an appel. God called Abram. And a lot of times when God is calling us, we tend to be a bit skeptical. Like, God, why would you choose me? Why would you call me? You sure you want me? From man's appearance, from the way it looked like from man's perspective, it doesn't look like I should be that person that you're calling. But le bon Dieu réel, he calls you. And no one can say anything about it. Amen. And he'll show you the reason why he called you. For know what? When you respond to the call, he'll show you the reason. He might not tell you the reason for him calling you right now at the moment. But for know what my share and what swiftly like material. When you respond and say, yes, okay, God, go ahead, do whatever you want to do with me. And this is what we see with Abram. And we read the scripture, and God said to Abram, chapter 12 of Genesis, and he says, the Lord said to Abram, leave your country, leave your people. Kite kite peyu, kite pepu, kite kai papao, and go to a land. I go to a place, Montreal. He didn't tell him the land yet, but he said, go. And as you go, I will show you. Amen. Now, the first thing, see, in a total surrender, in a surrendered life, there are four elements that God showed me that needs to be there. There's four elements that need to be present in a surrendered life. The first thing is, let me read it. The first thing is, accessibility. Baby, did I say it right? Accessibility. Okay. She always correct my grandma. Amen. Accessibility, number one. Number two, trust. Number three, obedience. And number four, love. Amen. Can we say that from the top? Accessibility, number one. Number two, trust. Number three, obedience. And lastly, love. Amen. Now, what is a surrendered life? A surrendered life is a life that God can utilize for his glory whenever and however he pleases. A surrendered life is a life that God can utilize for his glory whenever and however he pleases. O la vie qui disponible, can I say that? Disponible. Ça c'est on la vie bon Dieu qui a utilisé n'importe le livre, n'importe Jean livre. Ça c'est on la vie bon Dieu requires of us. Les besoins la vie qui he doesn't want to gourmet avec. Il pas besoin gourmet avec. L'alimenté on bagarre. Il pas besoin gourmet avec. He wants you to say yes, Lord. And this is what we see: accessibility. That's the first thing that we see in Abraham's life. First of all, God had access to Abram. He spoke to Abram, meaning Abram was in a place where he was able to hear of God. Or hear God's voice. Amen. Amen. Because that's a lot of times we can't really hear God and God can't have access to us because desod. We're in problem. We're doing bad. You see what I'm saying? It's hard for God to reach out to us and to find us because we're constantly leaving his reach. We're constantly leaving where he needs us to be. God said, listen, rete là. Remember God qui m'a passé avec Adam. He's like, you know, bon Dieu quitte yo no garden. He's like, yo, listen, y'all stay here. Do what you got to do, but don't touch that tree right there. You know what I'm saying? What happened? They touched a tree and they boogie. They left. They didn't stay in the place that God told them to see. So God said, where are you, Adam? Adam left the place where God wanted him to be. He had no access to Adam no more. You see? And that's us. That's our story. That's our story. We were in a place. And it's funny because if you look at the life of Abram was in a pagan culture, a society that was paganistic, meaning they did not really love God. In fact, they had other gods that they served. And this was the place that God chose to speak to Abram in. In a place where pile fatra and pile désordre a passé dans le monde, c'est là ça bon Dieu voulait pour parler avec Adam, avec Abraham. And when he spoke, what happened? Abram responded. And he had to give him a promise, though. He said, listen, Abram, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your children. You know what I'm saying? You're going to be blessed. Whoever blesses you, I'm going to bless. Whoever curses you, I'm going to curse. You know what I'm saying? The Abrahamic covenant. He's like, yeah, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to do this and all that stuff for you. But I just need you to go. And the Bible says, in verse 4, chapter 12, verse 4. So Abram left as the Lord had told him. Amen. He heard the word and then he left. That's been the life of Abram. throughout his whole journey. You read scriptures after scriptures. Abram obeyed God. In fact, they consider him to be the father of faith, because he adhered the word of God and he took his word for what it was. That was the word of life. That was the word I was supposed to be following. Not the culture's word. Not my father's word. Not anybody else, but the word of the Lord. That's what I hold near and dear to my heart. I embrace that word because this word has eternal life. It has direction. It's clear in its instructions. Whenever the word of the Lord speaks to me, then I have to swiftly. I have to follow that word. Amen. But God needs us to be accessible. That's the word, right, babe? Yeah. I don't know why it sounds. He needs us to be in a place where he's able to reach you, where he's able to find you. You know what I'm saying? It's not like God has a problem with finding us. It's that we have a problem with being in a place where God can utilize us and speak to us. We move. God doesn't move. In fact, there was a bishop who lost his son in a car crash. It was really crazy, and he came to a place where he started questioning God. He said, "Bon Dieu, côté où est le petit moi bi mou te mouri?" And then Bon Dieu répond, "Il dit, mais de même côté le petit moi te mouri." God didn't move. The bishop asked. He said, "Where were you when my son died?" God said, "I was in the same place when my son died." God doesn't move. We're the one who's constantly wavering and moving in our decision making. We don't know what we're doing. We're just flowing according to the wind. We're just blowing, letting it blow us wherever way. And God is saying, "Listen, I'm the constant God. I don't change. I changeth not. I'm consistent. I'm the constant one. I'm the constant factor in your life. Your family may change. Your finances may change. Your status may change, but I change not." Oh my, give him praise for that. My God. Thank you, Jesus. Ah, God is so good. He's so good. That's why I thank God that he's not like man. You know what I'm saying? The minute I do something grimy to a brother, they don't want to rock with me no more. And they feel the reason. I realize I'm just a man. I am going to fail you. I am going to do you dirty. I am going to do you wrong. But when you do God wrong, he doesn't change. He remains loving you. He still pursues you. He said, "You could do me dirty. I'm still going to love you regardless." The Bible says, "While we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ mourut pour nous." But on ne péché n'a bien dans la boue n'a bien n'a péché. Jésus laissa. Jésus décide pour mourir pour nous. That doesn't make any sense. Amen. So the next thing we see here is that Abram, he trusted God. Il était bien bon de confiance. His trust was in the promises and the word of God, even though it would take a minute to come to pass, even though he didn't know how it would come to pass, he still trusted God. You know, God requires total trust in his word without wavering. Most things that God promises seem humanly impossible. A lot of the things, how can it come to pass? This job that is only paying me what, $10,000 an hour now. But bon Dieu dit, "I will be the head and not the tail. I will be a lender and not a borrower." I don't understand it, God, but I'm still borrowing money. It's not matching. It's not adding up. Just like how God says 1 + 1 = 3. What, God? His logic is illogical. My wife always says that. But you have to trust. No. Parole bon Dieu. Ou supposé faire confiance na parole bon Dieu. And this is the problem. A lot of the times we hear a word from the Lord and time will pass. Time will go on. Time after time will go on. You don't see the fruition of that promise. You don't see the realization of this promise. It's going to happen. Abraham was 99 years old when God actually released the promise to him. But he gave him the promise years ago. To the point that, see, sometimes when we receive a promise from God, we start getting discouraged and we start handling our business the way we want to handle it. That's how you get the Ishmael and the Hagar. And you start trying to help God out. Because it seems like to me, you know, the good thing about God, I heard somebody did this illustration. Or maybe I came up with it, I don't know. Anyway, whoever gave it. But he said, God is like this. He's like the greatest coach. And as you're bench pressing, it's like you're up in there. Is that the spotter? It's a spotter. And you're waiting. Whoever lifts weights. West, it look like you be going in the gym too. So, and you up in there, you're doing your thing. And upakwe ugen unlock. Like you don't have any more. It seems like you don't have any more left in you. But the coach never come when you start getting aggravated, when you start getting impatient. No, he doesn't come there. He doesn't come to your rescue then. He comes when it's about to cave into your chest. He comes right on time because he knows if he comes too early, you won't learn that lesson. You won't get that extra strength that you deserve. And you won't even believe yourself that you're able to lift that weight. And that's how God comes. He comes to our rescue just in the nick of time. That's how God operates. And we have to be one who's just saying, God, whatever you want to do, whenever you show up, I'm going to trust in you. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Only, that's what I said. Selman Quelli, Jesus, lapsoveu tu. Selman Quelli, all you got to do is to believe and trust that what his word said will come to pass. That's the God that we serve. And you see that in the life of Abram. And now it goes on to the obedience. I know I don't have too much time left. But in chapter 22, you read it. God required something crazy. The thing that Abram waited so many years for. The thing that he waited so many years for. It finally came to pass. The thing that he'd been waiting for. He's been praying for. In fact, he like I said, he tried to help God out on this one. But God still forgave him and still blessed him with that promised child. Isaac. And that's the same thing that God required back of him. He said, listen, the son whom you love, the son, meaning the son that you've been waiting on, the promise that you've been waiting on, that same thing that you've been travailing for, you've been crying out for, I want that. The Bible started off and say, Abraham was being tested. And the thing that I love about Abraham in this point right here is that I think he knew it was a test. Because later on he said, okay, because first of all, the obedience is here. Verse 3, it says, chapter 22, verse 3, it says, early after he received the word, early the next morning, Abram got up and saddled a donkey with his son. Early. Bonne matin. He said, "Bonjour, okay, who did this? All right, let me see. Bonnet, and then go early in the morning. How come he ain't go like late at night?" Nah. He went early in the morning. He said, "God, I'm gonna do what you tell me to do early in the morning. That's obeisance. That means, listen, I'm not gonna question you." A lot of times we just say, "God, why you tell me that?" We start wasting time when you're gonna have to do it anyway. But we start, "God, I don't know why you told me to go to this job. I gotta go to the job and get money, right? I'm not gonna beef with you, God. I'm not gonna argue with you because I know I gotta do it regardless." But Abraham didn't do all that. He just said, "Early in the morning, I'm going." And then this is what he told his servant. He said, verse five. He said to his servant as he was walking with his son, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, then we will come back to you." Hold on. Bon, je te dis pour tuer petit tout, pour sacrifier, offrir un petit tout avec us, as a sacrifice, right? In his mind, he's saying, "Okay, bon, je m'en fais qui ça ouvre ou te dim pour faire, and I will do it." But he told a servant, "Même avec petit là, not vin back. We're coming back. We're gonna go worship God, and we'll come back to you." Abraham had, even if he were to kill his son, or sacrifice his son. He believed that God would raise him up right then and there so he could go back to his servant. Total obedience, total trust, total surrender, a surrendered life. God was just showing a story of what he would do later on in life. He said, listen, in that same place, Mount Moriah, that's the same place that you find where Jesus died. That's the same place where Jesus died. That same place, Calvary, that's the same place. It was named different, but this is the same place. But this is what God is saying. Jesus, Abraham, I don't want you taking my spotlight right now. Because I'm going to do a story later on, 2,000 years from now, 3,000. I don't want you to take in my glory at this point. But you proved to me, because at the point where he was about to totally kill his son, that's when an angel appeared to him. No. You passed the test. And God provided a ram in a bush. Because God wanted to sacrifice regardless. But he didn't want him taking his spot. Now, this is what we see. We see total surrender. We see that God had access to Abram. God had his total trust, his total confidence. He had his total obedience. And the last thing I said was love. And the question I would say is like, I didn't really see love in this passage. We really can't really highlight. You can imply it. You can see the implication that this. All of these things, these three elements, came out of a place of love, a love relationship. I'm not going to be easily accessible to you. I'm not going to totally trust you. I'm not going to totally obey you if I don't love you. Amen? Amen? All of that was rooted in love. The reason he was able to sacrifice and do whatever God wanted him to do, because he loved him. He loved God. You know, the Bible says to love God with all your heart, mind and strength, to love God as you love your neighbor. Love. He said, listen, you can have faith, you can have hope, but the greatest of everything else is love. C'est ça, bon Dieu, mon Dieu, non même. Amour, la mon Dieu, amour. You know, we speak of God's love constantly. We have a song that's dedicated, amour, bon Dieu, qui bon compassion, right? And we think, we say how great God's love is for us. How great is your love for God? That's the real quick. I know our love is tainted. Our love, in fact, it's what you do for me that shows me that you love me at times. But this is the type of love that God is asking for us. It's like, listen, if I don't even do anything, are you going to love me? Are you going to pray to me? Are you going to speak to me? Even if I don't even copy that new whip that you want, that new job, even if I open that door, are you going to love me? Are you going to totally obey me? Are you going to trust me? That's where the test really comes. God was really testing Abraham's love. Love means commitment. Love means time that I share with you. Love means intimacy. Into me, I see. Jake said that, yeah. So we got to come to a place saying, God, I totally surrender to you, not for what you've done for me, but because of who you are. You are a good God. You are great. You are forever blessed. And in fact, you are my reward. That's what he told Abram. He said, Abraham, I am your exceeding great reward. You don't need anything else. All you need is me. All you need is me. And be content with having me. Amen. Amen. So I think we just came here. We just came here to say that. Guys, let's live a surrendered life. Saying, God, okay. Oh, to thee. What? We all don't know where. The Savior. I surrender all. Right? We want to say, yeah. Yes, Lord. Yes, we do. I surrender. Yes, Lord. Surrender your will. Say.
I surrender.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on.
Oh, to me.
that your prayer? Is that your prayer? Is that your prayer? Thank you, Jesus. Be blessed, guys. Be blessed. Let this word meditate. Let it convict. Let it allow you to be charged to want to surrender God. Surrender everything over to God. Don't give him half. Give him total surrender. God bless you. Amen. Assume that everyone in here has totally surrendered their life to Jesus Christ. Because I can't just assume that. Because I mean, not everybody that's in God's house, God has total control over them. God can reach them. God has them at His reach. Not everyone in there. Because I don't want to just assume that. Amen. So it's only right that we offer you this Savior, this living Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who washed away your sins, amen, who did it 2,000 years ago, the one who got rid of all of the paganistic ideologies that we may adopt over the years that we have lived in this life, you know, all of these different things. He took it on himself. And the funny thing about it is that we the one who did him dirty. We did him wrong. We're the one who did him wrong. We're the one who disobeyed God. We're the one who offended God. We broke his law. And we said, God, we don't want you. We said, I want to do what I want to do. But the thing, a surrendered life is saying, God, I don't want to do what I want to do. I want to do what you want me to do. Because if I'm left to myself, I will lead. They said in Proverbs 14:21, it says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to destruction. You may think that you're going on the right path, but God, there's certain times that God's going to shut you down and stop you dead in your tracks and say, listen, I don't want you going that way. You know why? Because I love you so much, and I paid an awesome sacrifice for you. Amen? And we're at a place right now. We're in the crossroads right now, a lot of us, and we're saying, God, I don't know what to do with my life. And God is saying, that's right. That's exactly where I need you to be. Be in a place where you don't know what to do with your life. Let me show you what you need to do with your life. Amen. So this is the altar call that we're giving. We just want to, we want you guys to come and receive Jesus. Amen. I want to act like a person that I got everything down pack. I dotted all my I's and crossed all my T's. No, I still struggle on a daily basis, but I'm struggling with Jesus. That's the difference. The difference between us and the world is that the world has to struggle on their own. And a lot of stuff happens to them, and they just forget about it. They lose hope. But us, with us, when we struggle, we put our hope and our trust, our confidence in Jesus. And he makes our loads lighter. Amen. Do you want that, Jesus? That's the question we have. Do you want that? If you have never accepted Jesus Christ in your life, do you want to raise your hand so we can pray for you? You don't even have to come to the altar. We'll just have you stand, and we'll pray. We'll extend our hands to you. Everyone in here that is saved, whoever's saved next to you, they'll hold you, and they'll pray for you, to intercede for you, that God will just bless you, and God will just save your soul. Amen? Because we have a common enemy who wants to take you out. He wants to eliminate you. He wants to get you, have you gone, dead in your grave. But Jesus say, I have come to give you life and more, and that life more abundantly. Amen. If you're that person, we want you to stand, you know. And the one thing about standing publicly, it's like God is saying, listen, I want you to publicly pronounce your affiliation with me. Publicly say that you love me. Because if you don't publicly show that you love me, I can't publicly show God, my Father, that I love you. He said, I'll be ashamed of you if you're ashamed of me. So when you do that, you put the enemy to shame. Is that crazy? You put the enemy to shame. You put all the naysayers who said that, oh, this person ain't nothing in life. Then you put them to shame. But you say, for Christ I live, Christ I die. Amen? Are you that individual? If there's somebody in here, I want you to stand. We want to pray with you. Amen. We don't want to pray for you. We want to pray with you. Amen. Praise God. So that means everyone's here saved. Praise God. Okay, we have a sister here. God bless. Praise God. Praise God. Is there anyone else? God, I believe that God is tugging on somebody's heart right now. God is saying, listen, that's why I brought you here. You're not just a regular visitor. You know what I'm saying? You're coming into the place that I had reserved for you. Because I'm about to show you something. I'm about to do something with your life that you didn't even know I was able to do. God is about to change your status for real. And this is not manipulation. I know God. I know the God that I'm talking about right now. I've been convinced. Amen. You had all these different beliefs out there, but God is saying, I want you to believe me. I am not a religion, God is saying. I am not a religion. That's a man-made thing. I am a relationship. I want you to walk with me, talk with me. I need you to speak to me daily. I want you to have an intimate relationship with me, deeper than the one that you have with your boyfriend or your husband or your children. I want you to have a true, authentic, God-fearing relationship with me. When you know you ain't supposed to be doing something inside of you telling me, nah, I ain't supposed to do that, and I won't do it because I love God that much. It requires sacrifice. And God is saying, listen, I did it for you. I sacrificed my only son. I didn't have to do it, but I did it because I loved you. So God is saying, what are you willing to sacrifice? I don't want your money. I don't want any of that. I don't want your career. All I want is you. Because if I have you, I have everything. I didn't die for your money. I didn't die for anything else. All I died was for you. A total sacrifice. I died for you. And the gospel message is meant for us to respond. How do we respond? It's either through worship or surrender. You're going to surrender, or you can allow God to keep tugging at your heart and allow him to do more exercise, which he doesn't really mind to. But listen, let's just surrender. Say, God, listen, you got me. You got me. Or you may be an individual who've been saved, but you've been, it's like you have like a spiritual leak. You've been leaking and you're draining. The anointing is draining. It's like the feel, the passion, the drive that you once had for God has been draining to the point that you're almost on E. That gas tank is on E, and you need a gas station. You've been asking for a gas station. No one knows what a gas station, but here is the gas station. The gas station is right here. Jesus want to fill you up. You may be that individual. We want to pray for that individual. Can we pray for that individual? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right, we have one sister. We don't want to take up too much time, but we're going to all, can we all just extend our hands to the sister over here? Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You guys can start praying. You guys can start praying. You already know she's praying. She needs salvation. She needs the Lord to come in her life and to do whatever. Only the thing that he can do. Amen. Start speaking to the Lord. Start speaking to your Lord. That's right. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Have your way, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Yes, Lord. Your word went forth, Lord. And here is this response, Lord. The Bible says when one comes to the kingdom, all of heaven rejoices over this one soul. My God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for letting your word go forth. You said when your word go forth, it will accomplish the very thing it was sent out for, Lord. And here it is. You have one more potential worshiper, God. One more potential worshiper came to give you glory, and she will come and continue to surrender her life to you, God. Daily, she will constantly be sanctified. She will constantly be driven to the altar, constantly be crying out on behalf of her family, on behalf of her life, God. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for total surrender, complete surrender with no reserves. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Give God some praise, guys. Give God some praise.
Stand up to our feet. I surrender all. I surrender all. I surrender all. I surrender.